our Vacation Bible School theme, isn't it? Let our light shine for our kids. If you're missing out on that, we're doing Vacation Bible School every Wednesday night up till August 15th. We're doing it every Wednesday. So if you got kids, you want to get rid of kids. As long as you pick them back up, you can drop them off. We have no problem with that. But don't drop them off and expect us to do something with them. You got to come back and get them. But every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Vacation Bible School. Bring your kids. They're having a good time, and they're learning a lot about letting their light shine. Give me just a little bit more volume on this one, Jeremy, if you would. All right, we'll talk about there's more than this. Thank you, that's good. There's more than this. We live in a world with a lot of pain. We know that. We see every day the news. We see every day problems and struggles. We know in our own lives, all you got to do is look on Facebook and you see, you know, what everybody's going through. And you see all the trauma. People that we love, they pass away. We see divorce. We see people being killed and murdered. We see the people just, you know, we see a lot of tragedy, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. And, you know, Paul said in one place, if this life is all that I had to look forward to, if it's all there was, I'd be miserable. But we don't have to be miserable because we have a future. We have a future far beyond this, and that future is approaching faster than we think. I know for this little young couple that's 20 years old, they got a lot of future ahead of them. And they do, naturally speaking. But they'll be 50 years old before they know it, won't they, Grandma? It won't take long. No, you're not 50. I know that. But I know you're not close to 50. But I'm just saying, it won't be long. It'll be like, man, we went from 20 to 50 in a heartbeat. What happened? Then you go from 50 to 70 in a quicker heartbeat. And if you make it to 70, every day is a gift. Praise Jesus, right? No offense, older folks. You're like, man, I'm just hanging on still. We find out that through life, as I like what you said, that put God to Heather home, it won't be perfect, but things will go good, and they will. There is no perfect life except the one that Christ had prepared for us. We can have the best wife, which I do, best wife in the world, wouldn't trade her for three of them. Depends on how they look. No, I'm playing. I wouldn't trade for three of them. I love my children. I love my parents. I love my life. As Jimmy Stewart says, I feel like I do have a wonderful life. But I have pain. I have discouragement. I'm not always, the life's not always perfect. We have storms, we have battles, we have trials, we have tribulations. And I am thankful that all of that will give way to a greater reward that Christ has prepared for us. And I want to encourage you, I don't know if I've ever, in the 16 years of being a pastor here, I don't know if I've ever actually read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we're going to read it this morning. We're going to talk about it. But the first thing we'll talk about is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's see what Peter says here. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to His abundant mercy, not ours, His, hath begotten us again, means we've been born again, unto a lively hope. That means an everlasting hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the anchor of our faith, is Jesus Christ. That's why we can't include the gospel without Jesus Christ. That's why we can't say we're Christians without Jesus Christ. That's the anchor of everything. If He did not die and raise from the dead, the Bible says we would still be in our sin. But we're not in our sin, because this Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. He was born of a virgin, Virgin Mary. He was not born of man's seed. He was breathed upon by the Holy Ghost. He does not have man's seed. Therefore, there's no attachment of man. There's no unrighteousness of man attached to that seed. There's no soiling of that seed. It's pure. It's perfect. It's righteous. It's holy. It's right. And then He paid that price, fulfilled that law, and the third day rose out of the tomb. And there are many manuscripts other than your Holy Bible that talks about this. Everybody says, well, the Bible's a book of fiction. Well, the Bible was written by men. Well, the Bible, There are other, for you that aren't so keen on the Bible, if you're here today, and I know you're like, well, you're in church, but look, I've pastored 16 years. I know everybody in here may not believe in all the Bible or may not believe in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. If you don't believe in the Bible, there are other manuscripts all over that have written and recorded that Jesus Christ was a man. He did live, He was crucified. He was buried. And many hundreds and hundreds of witnesses saw him after the resurrection walking the streets of town. It's been proven over and over and over. There's a movie I watched called Case for Christ, Lee Strobel. It's a great movie. It's on Netflix, I believe. It's called Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, who ended up becoming an author and a pastor. He was a non-believer, did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus whatsoever. The more he went to research it, he went to California, flew here, flew there, talked to these doctors and scientists and all these different people, all these educators, and he kept finding, it was insurmountable evidence that yes, he lived and he died and he rose. That's our foundation. We have a everlasting hope because Jesus died and Jesus rose. He was the first fruits of them, and we are the ones to follow that pattern. Because he rose, we rise. Because he lives, we live. Because he overcame death, guess what? We too have overcome death because of this risen Christ. Look at the next verse. It gets better. I know you're like, how did it get any better, Pastor? It gets better. To an inheritance. We love inheritance. We all know what that means. We know what inheritance means. To an inheritance that's incorruptible, it is undefiled, it fadeth not away, and it is reserved in heaven for you. Our inheritance is secure. It's there. It's not going to go nowhere. It's waiting on us to walk into as the children of God. It is there. I've used this example many times. When you go on vacation, most time you book a room ahead of time. And you have confidence. There's not been one time on vacation I went thinking, man, I really hope that room got booked. Oh, it's booked. I made sure. I triple checked her. You know what I'm saying? The name's spelled right. The address is right. My family members are right. I got four. I got three. And this is the right room, the right address, the right hotel, the right day. You know, okay, yes, you check in at 11 o'clock. Eastern time, right? Yes, Eastern time. I mean, I want to know that my room is ready. And there's not been one time I've ever went on vacation, all the years I've went, where I got there and they says, we don't have a reservation for you, Mr. Lewis. Never has happened. Never has happened. Because I called ahead, I paid for it ahead of time, at least a deposit ahead of time, and it's waiting on me. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit's our deposit that secures our reservation. And then when we take our last breath here, whenever that is, then we inherit the fullness of that room and we walk into the fullness of what God's prepared for us. That's our future. This reward does not go away. It does not fade away. It is reserved. It is waiting on you. This is the hope of every Christian because we know what would be the point of life if there was nothing beyond this. I don't care how good we got it. I mean, I don't care how good we got it. My life has been blessed. I mean, it's been blessed. I have no complaints. If I was gone off the earth tomorrow, I would have no complaints. God has blessed my life. He's given me a wonderful wife, wonderful kids, wonderful friends, wonderful people in my life. I've not had any major health issues in my life. I've had a wonderful life. But if all I had was this and there was nothing beyond it, it'd be kind of pointless, wouldn't it? It'd be pointless. Let's be honest. But thank God there is more to this life than this. There's more than the pain. There's more than the grind. There's more than the day-to-day struggle. There's more. There'll be one day that Joe Brown will be able, and I think about Angela every time with this, there'll be a day that Joe Brown will one day dance with his feet and not be off balance and not have pain. But he will dance before his Father. For all the pain will be out of his body, all the restrictions, all the limitations, all the obstacles, all the things that hold us back and bind us here will not be a factor there. All that will be gone. I think about people I've lost that I've loved, especially on my dad's side. I've lost several aunts and a couple uncles. I've lost people on that side, and they had cancer, and they were in pain, and my grandma died of Alzheimer's, didn't even know who the family was, and her mind had shut out. But the good news is that her mind not knowing who they were did not stop Christ from knowing who she was. And none of that was an obstacle. None of that was a barrier. We have overcome death because of Christ. Next verse 6 says this, that our inheritance is kept by the power of God through faith. It's kept by the power of God. Our faith's not kept by us, church. It's kept by God. And we would live a much freer, more impactful, and powerful life when we ever get that revelation. That I can't keep my salvation. It's not something I have control over. I gave my life to Christ. He has it. He holds it. He keeps it in His power. It's Him that does that, not me. All the Hail Marys in the world don't work. All the fasting doesn't work. All the giving doesn't work, though we appreciate giving. All of that stuff doesn't work far as keeping your salvation. Our salvation is kept by God. On the cross, He uttered three beautiful words. It is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished. No more to be done. It is over. It is complete. I have satisfied the demand that kept you away from me. I've satisfied that. I've paid that debt that you owed in full. Now, yes, as Christians, we follow Christ. And as Christians, our heart will want to do what God wants us to do because we will be changed by His Holy Spirit. We will be changed. There are things in our lives, as she sung the song, Jewel, clean. That those things that I'm coming alive, that what was dead is now alive. What was dead, the old me is no longer there, but the new me has now been resurrected by the hand of God. And I will walk in that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's kept through God, through faith, for salvation to be revealed in the last time. We will see the fullness of God when that trump sounds. And we see Him face to face. Let's get into Thessalonians. It's a very familiar chapter. You've heard it probably your whole life. I don't know if I've ever read this before. I'm not sure. I was thinking about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter. Oh, I got two more verses. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I added these this morning late. Same chapter, verse 23, 1 Peter. We have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. See, I was born to my father, David Lewis. And though my dad's a good man, my dad's born a sinner. So my seed became sin. Christian, Ashley, and Jamie's seed became sin. And their children's seed will be sin. Because they were born of corruptible seed. But Christ was not born of corruptible seed. Christ was born by the Holy Spirit, overshadowing Mary's womb. The life and the birth and the seed of Christ had nothing to do with natural man. So as he was born untainted. He was born clean. He was born pure. That's why He's the perfect sacrifice. We too, as children of God, are not born now. I'm not born again of my dad's seed. I'm now born of Jesus' seed. My Father, my Heavenly Father's seed. And that seed's incorruptible. And I'm born through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. My dad's seed will pass away. My seed will pass away. My children's seed will pass away. But this seed never passes away. The seed I've been born into now, I will live based on this seed forevermore. Forever and ever and ever. Next verse. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. What happens to the grass and the flowers? They wither and they fall away. The things of this world perish. Every fall we see this happen, right? Every fall stuff starts dying. The green leaves start turning brown and gold. The green grass that you spent so much time in the summer with all of your fertilizer and seed, and you did the stripe mowing that you like with the big old wide stripes, and it looked like Tiger Woods could golf on that thing. You had it right. Well, if you got enough money, I guess you keep it right all year. But for me, mine goes dead. And so in the winter, that vibrant green grass begins to not grow and begins to not be as green. And the leaves fall off the trees, and the roses and the flowers begin to fall away. And in about mid-January, man, it looks dead out here in North Carolina. Dead. Things are bare. It looks dead. All of that passes away. We pass away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So what we're saying is what I'm going to preach today and what I am preaching right now, it will go on forever and ever and ever. Our reward will not pass away. Our inheritance will not die. It is waiting. It is secure. It is ready. And though these things, we age, we perish, you know, day by day. I heard a doctor on TV talking about, you know, people get, you know, cancer diagnosis. They call that the death diagnosis. You know, I got a death sentence. You know, I got stage four as a death sentence. Stage four cancer, I got a death sentence. They said the day you were born, you got your death sentence. In the natural. Think about it. The day you're born, you're in a process of dying. You might look good at 20, but you're still in the process of dying. What God did for us will never end. There'll be a day we will be ageless. We will be limitless. We will be eternal. Zero pain and zero sorrow. Zero afflictions. Everything will be restored. Everything will be right. Remember when Adam was created in the beginning, that God breathed into him. It was God's breath into Adam. Made him like himself. Eternal. To never grow old. Never be sick. To have a, you know, to have marriage and be happy. Wouldn't it be great to have a happy marriage? Don't say anything. I'm just thinking about it inside. Keep that quiet. Have a happy marriage and get along with your wife, get along with your husband, get along with your children, get along with your dog. I mean, you know, happy life. You know, the Bible says in Romans 1 that even creation has been subject because of the fall of man. Even creation's out of whack. The animal world, nature itself's out of whack. Tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, what's all that? It's out of whack. There's no harmony. And you hippies are like this. There's no harmony in the universe. And the reason there's no harmony is because things are messed up. But man, when God returns, all will be restored and all will be in harmony again. And everything will be like it's supposed to be. Oh. They're having a contest, aren't they? I could cry louder than you. Next verse, Brandon. 1 Thessalonians. This is a beautiful, beautiful promise to us, church. I want you to really pay attention to this. This is a promise we have in God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning with verse 13. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Talking about the ones that have died. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep, which died in Jesus, will God bring with them. Now we've got a lot of folks in our lives in this building right now that have been buried. But they have the same hope we have because of Christ. They are not dead. They are not away from the promise. They are not going to be forgotten or lost. They are part of the kingdom of God. Even though their flesh has died, they have a promise here that they're still mine. And when all things are put in order, they'll be with me. And they'll be restored with their glorified bodies, just as those of us that remain. For we believe, verse 15, for we say this by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This gives a prompt. Back it up a minute, Brandon, on that verse. This tells us that there is a people that will be alive when Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be part of that generation? Just to be captured as we are. Suddenly and instantly captured. Without going through death and pain and sorrow. You're just walking through Walmart, D, you know? And all of a sudden, the kingdom's established. God takes us where we are and transforms us. But he also says that those that are alive will not stop, will not alter the ones that have died as well. They too belong to Jesus. And all of us together will have glorified bodies and a glorified life. Just because a headstone does not mean they are lost, that they are dead, that they are somewhere in darkness. I believe that I know there's different teachings on this. I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that when our last breath is gone here, that we are in the presence of God. We're there. There's no separation. But we're in the presence of God. And then all of us one day, our uncles, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our children, all of us one day will be reunited together, whole and complete. Is that song clean, shattered and broken? But I'll make you whole, complete. You see ugly, whatever, I see beautiful. That's what God sees. And one day we will be together again, and we will see those ones we love, and we have a promise of that in this Word of God. Go to verse 16. For the Lord Himself. He's not going to send Peter, is He? It's not going to be old James or John. That's right. Not going to be none of those folks. It's going to be the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ. Next verse, Brandon. The dead in Christ will rise first. There's a resurrection for the people of God. And death does not stop the plan of God from happening. A casket doesn't hold them in. Death doesn't hold them back. A hole doesn't keep them down. When the trumpet sounds, they shall be restored and rise and resurrected forevermore to be with the Lord. Death doesn't stop it, church. It can't stop it because Jesus already paid the price for that. Next verse. So the dead will rise, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, always, always be with the Lord. That's our future. And that's our hope. Death is not the final act. Death is not the final stop. Death's not even part of us now as Christians. Yes, our flesh fades away. And yes, we do funerals. And yes, our mortal bodies decay. But our soul cannot die. Our soul is immortal, and our soul lives on forever. And for those that say, I just don't know about that, a lot of people say, I just don't know. I think you're just there, and you're not aware of anything, and you know, I don't really think the spirit goes on forever. But let me ask you this, and don't raise your hands on this either. But how many of you believe in a ghost? Haunted houses? Spirits? My mom used to sing me a song when I was a kid. I'm stirring and stirring and stirring my brew. Ooh, ooh. Remember that song? I gave it to you. I mean, how many of us? I mean, man, we got people who don't believe in Jesus, but they'll watch them ghost chasing channels. You know? I mean, you believe in Ghostbusters more than you believe in Jesus. Who are you going to call? Yes. I mean, if you believe in ghosts, you got to believe in the Holy Ghost. I know Jamie went on a field trip one day at school to some haunted place up in, where was that at, Melly? Harmony. Y'all probably heard about it. It's a place in Harmony where a ball is supposed to roll by itself and things happen. And, you know, of course, Jamie was freaked out about everything. He saw and heard everything around him. I believe in that. I believe in a dark world. I believe in dark spirits. You ever... Okay, look, you women, for instance, you women are very intuitive, okay? You women are a lot, you know, you women are just different. Minnie's like, what are you going to say? You're just very different. How many of you women have been around a man at work, or you've been around a man, or you're at Walmart, and some guy creeps you out? He hasn't said a thing to you. He's not touched you. He just creeps you out. You know why he creeps you out? Because you're feeling something, right? What are you feeling? It's my woman intuition. I did that too good, didn't I? It's not your woman intuition. You know what you're feeling? You're feeling their spirit. You're feeling their spirit. You ever talked to someone and you knew something was wrong, and they might have had a smile, but you felt something wasn't right? You're feeling their spirit. Spirits are real. Spirits are real in the dark world. Spirits are real in God's kingdom. And so for those that say, I don't believe in an eternal life, I don't believe in anything, I believe when I'm dead, I'm dead, it's over, I'm worm food, da da da. I've heard all that. But yet some of those same people will believe in ghosts or spirits or all of that stuff. You got to believe in both. Both worlds are real. There's a demonic world and there's a kingdom of God. Satan has his spirits and God has the Holy Spirit. There are angels of God and there are demons from the devil. And they can haunt and torment our lives. You ever been paralyzed at night in your bed? You woke up and you maybe had a dream and you were not paralyzed. So you couldn't even move. You couldn't even call your mom. I remember as a kid, I used to try to call mama's name. Nothing come out. You ever been there? Be yelling, mama, nothing come out. I don't know why it wasn't coming out. My mouth was moving. I don't know why nothing was coming. I don't know. But you were just paralyzed. Or you woke up and you seen a shadow in your room and you thought it was something, you know, oh, that's tormenting. That's tormenting. You know, the drug world opens up a lot of that for people that do drugs, especially psychedelic drugs. It opens up a whole world of seeing things that aren't there. Because it triggers things in your mind, and it causes you to be like, you know, way out there. They call it bad trip, good trip, whatever. Those things that are you're out there and you're seeing things that aren't real, but to you they're very real, and you're feeling them, you're experiencing them, you're seeing them. There is a real world we can't see. There's a kingdom of God right now happening as we speak that we just can't see. There's angels all around us that we just can't see. When I pulled in the driveway yesterday, I sat in my car for a minute on my phone texting somebody. And Ashley was in the living room. And I thought she'd already gone. And she texted, I'm in the living room, Dad. I said, okay. And she goes, who's with you? I thought I saw somebody sitting beside you. And I said, nope, that's just my angel. That's what I told her. That's just my angel you're seeing. I do believe in that. I believe that God puts things around our lives to protect us and to watch us and to keep us. You know what she said, don't you? In baby talk, I can interpret that. Amen, Pastor. That's what that was in baby talk. Is that my last verse? One more. Therefore, we should comfort one another with these words. It's important we encourage one another. Hey, I know you're going through a lot, you know? I know you're going through so much, you know, I know you're going through a lot of pain, you know, but let me comfort you. It's going to end. This isn't it. You got a future. I know you're going through a divorce, you're going through loss of tragedy, going through loss of a loved one, you lost your job, you lost your home, you lost your car, you're fighting battles, you're fighting strongholds, you're fighting temptations, you're fighting things that you can't break free from, but hold on, be comforted. There's a day coming when all of that will be laid down. There's a day coming, as Paul says, I've fought the good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the race, and now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not just but for me, but for all of those who love his appearing. Well, church, we love his appearing. We're ready. As Christians, we're ready. God, any day. Any day, God, you are. Any day, God, sound the trumpet. Any day, Lord, sound the trumpet. I've been blood bought. I've been redeemed. I've been washed by the blood of Jesus. God, come any day and restore your kingdom. Any day, God, restore it. Because we don't know what that day is going to be. I get so amused when I see these idiots on internet and TV that try to predict a day of their day. That's ridiculous. Folks don't believe none of that. I mean, that's stupid. No one knows when God will return to restore the kingdom. Only he knows. I just know that my reward is waiting, and we need to enjoy the trip while we're here. Yes. Enjoy it. You don't think babies don't feel things? I'm telling you, babies hear the word. They can sense spirits. And they can feel things. And they can see things. Here's what happens to us as human beings as we get older. You know, when you're young, like this young man, you're 15, right? 16. Excuse me. 16. Yeah. He snarled at me. 16. Excuse me. He's 16. He's still young and still very open-minded and all that. But you get older like Stacy. You know, you shut things out more, don't you? You're not quite as open to things because you've been hurt and you've seen it and you've been there and done that. And, you know, you don't believe. Kind of like Polar Express. Everybody seen that movie? Melanie seen that movie? Polar Express, right? Tom Hanks. Just believe. They get on the train. Just believe. Man, kids believe. That little Aubrey will believe anything you tell her as she gets old enough to really understand. If Dad tells her, I played basketball for the Chicago Bulls from 2005, 2008. You did. She'll go to her nursery. My dad played basketball, Chicago Bulls. She'll believe that because you told her that. Your mama was prom queen. Was you prom queen? Okay. My mom was prom queen. Mama was prom queen. She's going to believe anything you tell her. They're so impressionable, and they soak everything in. That's why it's important we tell our kids the truth. And the right thing, because that's what they hear. But as we get older, we start shutting things out because we get hurt. And we blame people for our mistakes. And we blame people for where we're at. And we start making all these excuses of why I can't believe no more. God, if you were real, blah, blah, blah. God, if you were there, blah, blah, blah. Let's be like a child again with a child's heart. Say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me see again as I did as a child. Where I don't have all the stuff as an adult I've let get in my way of keeping you from seeing you of who you are. I want to be, see you for all that you are. Comfort each other with these words. We have a future. This is not all there is. No matter what you're going through. This is why for a child of God is a beautiful thing. When my aunts passed away, my aunt Eunice and Aunt Ruth, who both had physical problems and sickness. My Uncle Glenn, who had his own issues. When they passed away, my Uncle Ray was so sick, he was bedfast and couldn't even get out of bed for months and months. My Uncle Ray was a pastor. He's a Church of God pastor for 50 years. And when he died, for months he was bedfast, couldn't get out of the bed, couldn't get out of the room, couldn't move. I mean, he was completely an invalid pretty much for the past several months. Here's this man that pastored for 50 years. You know what? Some folks might say, man, he pastored 50 years in the Church of God, serving God. And that's how he ends up. It's not how he ended up. Where he ended up is where he's at now. That's how he ended up. And oh yeah, his reward was great. His reward was great. Just because we have pain here doesn't cancel out the reward that's there. We will walk into it. So we can endure the pain. Think about Paul, and I'll close with this. Think about Paul. As Paul was converted to Christ and began to preach the gospel, Paul had it rough for anybody we read about in the Bible. Paul was in prison for the gospel. He was stoned. He was beat. He was extradited out of towns. Man, he lived a miserable life. I mean, some of us quit coming to church because, you know, our power bill didn't get paid. Well, God didn't meet my need. I was quit going to church. Man, here is Paul, who was beaten, imprisoned, ridiculed, thrown out of town. Nobody liked him. He probably had very few friends, Bill. Wouldn't you think Paul probably had very few friends, real friends? Because he was preaching something that wasn't popular. Because all the Pharisees wanted to think everything came through them. And Paul started preaching. You don't need them Pharisees. You don't need to read that Torah every single week. You don't have to deserve all this stuff they're observing. You don't have to keep all those laws and commandments. Man, Jesus died and rose and set you free. All you need is Christ. And boy, they didn't like that at all. They couldn't stand him. Yet Paul, the last letter he wrote to us, he was in prison when he wrote it. In prison when he wrote the last letter of the New Testament. And he closed by saying what I said a while ago. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. He wasn't grumbling. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't saying, oh me, oh my, oh Lord, why? You know? He wasn't saying none of that. He rejoiced in the suffering. You know why? Because the Bible says if we endure sufferings with Christ, we will also endure the reward is with Christ. It's not popular being a Christian in any society, in any age, not really. I'm sure even in my grandma's day, way back in the black and white days, I bet there was persecution against Christians then. Oh, you're one of them Jesus followers? You believe in Jesus and you believe in God and you go to church? I mean, even then there was persecution. There's always been persecution. It's never going to be the popular thing. But when we stand strong and bold, saying, I am a Christian, I will suffer what needs to be suffered so I can receive what's supposed to be received, it gives us great hope. There's more than this, church. There is more than this. Marjorie, come on up if you would, please. There is so much more than what we have here on the earth. And all of us, those that have died and those that are still here, will all come together and be reunited and be one. One family and one body. Revelations tells us, I see a new heaven, a new earth, right? No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. What a beautiful day that'll be. And that's a promise that we have. If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't believe, or maybe you want to believe, you just can't believe, you have a hard time. Some folks just have a hard time believing. It's not they don't believe, they just have a hard time believing. I want to encourage you to let this word speak to your heart and recognize what's around you and realize there's a greater power in you than that which is in this world. There's a greater creator than yourself. When you look around at just nature itself and all that God has made, it points you to someone higher than yourself. This is why I think God made space endless and he made oceans depthless. Because he wanted to prove the vastness of who he is. Only a very small percentage of our oceans have even been explored. A small percentage. Space, of course, there's no end to it. There's galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and billions and zillions and trillions of stars, and it just goes on and on forever. Showing how God goes on forever and ever and ever. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. That's God. I've always been. You can't trace me back. And I'll always be. You can't outrun me. Man, no matter what you're going through or what you're battling. I'm going to step out on a limb here. I just feel led to do this. I'm going to step out a little bit limb. I'm going to be very cautious. But Chris, I'd like to say a prayer with you, brother. Can I do that? Is that okay? Is that all right to say one with you? You can just stay right there, brother. I just want to say a prayer for you, okay? For my brother Chris, Lord, I just pray for his life, for his future. I just pray you speak, you comfort him, bring him courage and strength, that you surround him with your presence, that you watch him and protect him and keep him all of his days, that you visit him, God, in a special way, that he knows the love you have for him, that he was created by you, born by your breath and by your hand, and that his future, he has a future, God, because of you. Speak to my brother, Lord, and help him and just watch him and keep him. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen. Tony, come up here, brother, would you? Tony Cook, go get him if you would. Pray for him. Tony's having some surgery tomorrow. We want to pray for him as he goes into surgery tomorrow. Yes. Yeah, stay right there. I want some women to come up here and stand with Shannon. Some women that, some godly women that will pray with Shannon. Some ones that believe and know Jesus for sure. Come pray with her. Speak deep into her heart. Reveal yourself into her, Lord.
reveal who you are, the fullness of who you are, that she will know you. I pray for strength, spiritual strength. I rebuke the enemy from attacking her life, from the dark forces coming against her, that the light of the Holy Spirit will overshadow the darkness of the enemy. Feel her, Lord. Bless her. Cover her. Anoint her in the name of Jesus with a fresh glory. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Jesus. Let's pray with her a minute. Y'all keep talking to her and hugging her for a minute. Go ahead and sing.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my
strength it took for her to walk up here in front of y'all and say that. A lot of us feel that way sometimes, don't we? I'm struggling spiritually. Church, nothing wrong with that. Doesn't mean you're not a believer. Doesn't mean you're not a child of God. We've all struggled. I've told you Melly's famous saying, right? God, you got some explaining to do. Every time she'll say that, God, you got some explaining to do because I don't understand this. Nothing wrong with that. Thank you, Shannon, for obeying and listening to what God had put in your heart. And these women and this church will be praying for you and loves you. And you're God's. You are God's child. Tony, come on up. We want to pray for Tony this morning. He's having some back surgery tomorrow, very early in the morning. So we want to pray that God watches him and fixes that situation in his life. We know back surgery can be a serious thing. Lord, we anoint Tony right now. Put him in your hands for tomorrow morning as he goes to that hospital. That you will surround his bedside. That you will guide every move that is made, every decision that is made. And we pray for healing and strength and restoration to that back. That he will be made whole by your hand, the healer, in the name of Jesus. Give him peace and give him rest to just trust you through it all. Overwhelm him, overshadow him with your presence and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be thinking about him in the morning. I want to make an announcement. We made it last week. A lot of you weren't here last week, and we'll make it for several weeks. But we have a new Sunday school program we're kicking off August 26th, the last Sunday of August. We are starting an adult Sunday school class. We'll meet at 9 o'clock, go from 9 to 9:45. The children as well will be in Sunday school during that time, 9 to 9:45. For the 10 o'clock service, children that are K and under, kindergarten and under age, will have a class to go to during service. If you're first grade and up, we ask you sit out with your family and be a part of the service. We think that's important. We think that it's good the kids see the worship, see their family in worship. If you have a rowdy kid, we do expect you, though, to kind of take them out so you don't disrupt service. And don't get offended if I call them out, because I will if they get too disruptive. I have no problem with that. Babies, I don't. They can't help it. But an 8 or 9-year-old knows how to behave. They just need a good switch if they can't behave. Excuse me. I did not say that. This was not James Lewis. This is just a recording. We're excited about that. So I hope you will be behind that. Bill Fuller, raise your hand once again. If you know Bill, he will be the main teacher for the adult class. We're very excited. He's a very seasoned man of God. And he will... Is that Jesus on the main line? we're very excited. Gordon as well up here will be helping out, filling in when Bill's not here, and helping out some as well. So we're excited having both these men to step up and be a part of this new program. August 26th, that kicks off, so we're very, very excited about that. It'll give the adults a nice small group to grow together and to learn. And Bill's a great teacher. Bill's a much better teacher than I am. I'm not really, I mean, I try to teach sometimes, but the preacher button always comes out, and that's just who I am. But Bill will go in depth with the Sunday school class. He will go, I'm sure, verse by verse, in an expository kind of way, and you'll really learn the Bible, and I'm excited about that for y'all. I know it's a little early, we're not going to disrupt our 10 o'clock service because y'all will be in an outrage throwing rocks, and I know that. So we'll just keep the 10 o'clock as it is and have a 9 o'clock Sunday school. And hope it works out. I'm one, if it don't work out, it's not functioning properly, we won't keep doing it. I want it to work and be efficient and be right. So it's time. Been waiting for a long time for the right person to come along to take an adult class. I know Randy could have done it, but Randy's heart's with kids, and I want to keep him focused in that direction. That's what he does, is kids. So I didn't want to teach it because I don't want to teach and preach. So I said, if we're going to do this, somebody's got to do it. So I'm excited about it. All righty. Yes, Mom. Yep. Okay. If you're going to be here, sign up what you're going to bring. Prime timers 55 or older have their meeting here Thursday morning, 10 o'clock. They're staying in the fellowship hall to have lunch, doing a picnic style, right? So hot dog, hamburgers, fixings, all that good stuff here at church. So sign up. Mom will pick the sheet up today. So sign up if you're going to bring anything. It's this Thursday, 10 a.m. Be there, be square. So ushers, come on up. Give you your opportunity to give to the Lord this morning. Oh, yeah. Yes, July the 13th, which is Friday, marks our 16th anniversary of our first service of Living Word. 16 years, first service. It was a Saturday night 16 years ago. This Saturday night, Monticello Fire Department. Do you remember if you were there for the first service? If you were there, raise your hand if you remember if you were there for the first service. Look at that, six people. Look at us now. Woohoo! Isn't that crazy? Yeah, they came shortly after. They were there the very first Saturday night, I don't think, but they came very shortly after. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful service you've given us, for the word of encouragement, God, that this is not, there's more than this, that we have a future and a hope, because you yourself will descend and you will yourself will sound the trumpet and you yourself will gather your people together to establish your kingdom. Thank you, God. The grave doesn't stop it. Death doesn't stop it. Thank you for that promise we have and that hope we have in you. Bless this seed today as we sow our seed to you, God. You see the importance of the seed being sown, God. It's an eternal. We're seeing future generations be here, hearing the word, babies being raised, God, in the word. It's important. Let hearts know they're given to something more than themselves. Thank you, God, for all your blessings of this church and your people. In Jesus' name, amen.